The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Craig Bogart, creator of The Ineffables, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, I am your podcast purveyor, I am the newly christened The Hype Killer, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 222. I suppose I need to explain that new nickname, The Hype Killer, and I will because it kind of ties into actually what this podcast episode is all about. You see, I am in a group chat with the Three Geeks podcast folks, and about a week ago, Max had sent us all a message saying that he hates the movie Uncut Gems as much as I do, and that despite all the hype from the critics, I killed the hype, and therefore, that's why I got the nickname The Hype Killer. So it kind of ties into this episode because it is going to feature my appearance on the Three Geeks podcast from a couple weeks ago, where we all sat around and talked about the best of 2019. So this is the third time I've kind of had a podcast pair up, and I think it's a pretty fun episode. Jason, Max, Scott, Dan, and Kat, and I as well, share what we liked in terms of movies, comic books, TV shows, video games. Hell, we kind of cover it all. And so, since I was kind of in between a couple of guests, I thought this would be a fun episode to release to you all. And I hope you enjoy it. I really, truly hope that you do. But before we get to the main part of this episode, I'd like to talk about a couple of things that have been going on in regards to me. And the very first one is I'd like to talk about a project that I got the opportunity to participate in just about 2 weeks ago. Chris Borne is a local filmmaker, and he made the documentary Lady Wrestler. And if you haven't seen it, you need to. If a screening pops up somewhere here in Columbus, or actually throughout the Midwest or even on the East Coast, Chris has been touring with the film. It's a documentary about some African-American women in the 1950s who were trailblazers in professional wrestling, and they all lived here in Columbus, Ohio. And it's a great documentary. You definitely need to see it. Well, Chris reached out to myself and, of course, film critic Paul Markov, a man that has appeared many times on the PVD Cast, and he wanted us to join him on a video production talking a little bit about film. And it's not ready to go yet. It's not ready to be released. But when it is, I'll definitely let you know all about it because it was so much fun and it was so good to work with Chris. And as I said, I'll let you know, give you more details as Chris gets everything finalized. He's kind of editing some things right now. But as soon as he's ready to go, I'll let you know where you can find it so you can check it out. And the second thing I wanted to talk about is that we are 2 weeks away from the Arnold happening right here in Columbus, Ohio. And once again, New Ohio Wrestling is going to present Anarchy at the Arnold as it's part of the Arnold's Kids and Teens Expo at the Ohio State Fairgrounds at the Bricker Building. We're going to be down there March 7th from 9 to 6 and March 8th from 10 to 5. We have a giant tournament, some great wrestling action ready to present to you. Ken Anderson's going to be there doing a seminar. Of course, the wonderful ladies from GLOW, Hollywood, and of course, Royal Hawaiian are going to be joining us as well. So you definitely want to make it down there. I mean, let's just be honest. If you got the kids with you and you've gone downtown, you've seen everything down there, probably on the way back up 71, you might stop off on 17th Avenue right there in the fairgrounds, stop by the Bricker Building. I mean, kids are free. As long as they're not 14 and older, they're free. So stop on over, check out some great family fun with New Ohio Wrestling at the Arnold. And of course, I'm going to be there doing some TV work with my broadcast partner, Hot Commodity, Matt Mason. And I got to be honest, I'm really looking forward to working with Matt again. You know, Matt brings a certain technical expertise to the commentary booth, and I do enjoy working with him. And by the way, just I'm going to throw it out there. You know, I recently done some other commentary work with OWA as well. And I got to be honest with you, those individuals I've worked with, you know, whether it's Dr. Dan or Weapon X or DJ Joey Blaze, you know, they bring a more entertainment value, if you will, to the commentary booth. Not so much the technical expertise as Hot Commodity does, but I've enjoyed my experience in the booth, no matter if we're talking about NOW or OWA. But back to the Arnold, stop on by. That's all I want to say. Stop on by either March 7th or March 8th and check out New Ohio Wrestling. Wow, I got a little bit off the beaten path, so to speak. I kind of started rambling, but you know what? Enough of my rambling. Let me just remind you real quickly that this podcast is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking about the Golden Era, the Silver Era, the Bronze Era, or even the Modern Era. But they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, back issues. Basically, whatever you need, they got. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff or the other fine folks over there. And you can even check them out online at wgcomics.com or on Facebook, facebook.com/wgcomics. But let them know that John Orlando sent you their way if you happen to stop by the store or if you interact with them online. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my appearance on the Three Geeks podcast as we talk about the best 2019.
We are here with John Orlando. It's our first cast with him of the new year. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. You guys, how are y'all?
Yeah. Doing all right. Good.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Actually, I'm doing great. Life's great right now.
Yeah, last time I saw you was at Comic Con.
That's right. In October, man. Oh, yeah, Wizard World.
It's been a while.
It has been. It has been a while.
Have I seen you recently? I thought I've seen you. Yeah, we saw the Mr.
Yeah,
Rogers
Mr.
movie.
Mr. Rogers movie, like in November. Yeah. So, yeah.
That was
a good
spoof.
It is not on my list of favorites for 2019, I will tell you that.
I'm sad I didn't get to watch Jojo Rabbit with you, because I love that movie.
Oh, that movie was fantastic.
Yeah, it was so good.
It's on the list. Can we just go ahead and start talking about it?
You know, this will be the third time in a podcast that I've started talking about Jojo Rabbit, so we can't go too far into it, but I just want to say you brought it to my attention that it might actually be something we're seeing, and then I didn't get to watch it with you, but like, I really wish I would have.
You know what movie John really likes? Is Uncut Gems.
Oh, fuck that piece of shit. Anyways.
I wanted to see that movie.
Oh my god.
I heard it was like Adam Sandler's greatest movie of all time.
I'm the only one that doesn't like it. Everybody loves it, but I found it to be annoying, pretentious, ridiculously dumb. Like, I hated it.
There's one a year I've learned that everybody else seems to love.
That that's what I'm good for, man.
That was last year, though, right? Was that last year?
Yeah, Uncut Gems came out.
And then the year before that was the Clint Eastwood movie, right?
Yes.
The Gunrunner one you didn't like?
Yes, the Mule. That was horrible. And everybody loved that one, too.
I didn't love it. I just didn't hate it.
Right.
I haven't seen either of these. I don't know.
Look, Jojo Rabbit, fantastic.
Yes,
I thoroughly enjoyed
watching Hitler on screen.
No, Sam Rockwell's performance.
Yes,
being the angry, dejected, like
gay.
I hate these fucking kids. Like he was the best part of that movie. Well, I think.
I mean,
he stole the show, man.
Yeah, it's subtle. Like his character is real subtle. It's easy to paint him as one thing, and then when you look at the whole, you're like, okay, like I see what's going on here. Like you see where his bravado is making up for something else, and you know, like then he's like just a kind of like a hopeless drunk, and you see why, and it's like, no, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
It is. I think my only gripe that I had about it was I would have liked to have just a smidgen more background on Mom.
Yeah,
because I felt like, okay, well, they didn't really explain why are we hiding this Jewish girl. Like, why? There was not, other than, well, my husband was in the underground. Okay, but there's got to be something more to that. And I think, like, 10 more minutes on that, boom, then I think you would have, like, a solid, solid picture from top, from start to finish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that's another performance. We just did a podcast on Married and Hating It.
Marriage Story?
Marriage Story.
Married. Let me ask you. Just got the dots.
How does that compare to Blue Valentine? Have you guys seen Blue Valentine?
I have not seen. Marriage Story is. I've heard Blue Valentine is one of the most depressing movies ever made.
I will just tell you right now, it's the only movie I ever got a private showing to. I wanted to see it because, you know, there's a lore behind it. I think it was Harvey. It might have been Bob Weinstein. One of the Weinsteins got super pissed off because it got hit with NC-17 because of the scene with Ryan Gosling going down on her. They thought that was way too explicit. And the story is supposedly... I think it's Bob. Bob Weinstein went into the MPAA and put the book down and goes, opened it up and goes, show me where this is illegal. Show me where we cannot show this. Pick out the rule, show it to me. And they couldn't. So he goes, make it unrated. So I wanted to see it. I go to Marcus like at 5:30 in the afternoon. I'm the only one in the theater. Only one in the theater for this movie. And I'm like, this is badass, man. It's a good thing. Because by the time that movie was done, I had cried for like 25 minutes. It is devastating. Like, it just destroys you as a viewer. It just destroys you.
Is it devastating in like the Notebook way, where it's like, you know, he took his whole life and every time he likes to re-explain their relationship and your heart breaks for him? Because that makes me laugh so much.
No, it's just that, like, for me, like, I think everyone can identify with this idea of being in a relationship, whether you're dating or whether you're living with somebody or whether you're married to somebody, and the fight to try to keep it together. And Ryan Gosling really isn't that bad of a guy, but he does do some dumb shit that we all do, and you just fight for it. And the final scene is just what, like, I was like, I'm not gonna cry, and then the final scene, you're like, oh, that's it. It just waterworks, man. It's brutal.
I'm not ever watching this one.
Marriage Story does have some hard scenes in it, but overall, the overall movie is pretty positive.
I've heard the tone is a little more positive.
Yeah, it ends. It has a happy ending. I mean,
Blue Valentine does not.
Spoiler alert, they don't get back together, but it does have...
Whoa!
Oh, jeez.
I haven't seen it.
It does have mildly a happy ending as far as that goes.
Gotcha.
So, I really like it. I actually related to this movie a lot. Mm-hmm. So I really dug how the positive outcome in the end came out. So.
The only parts of Marriage Story that I've seen are the little screenshots that they pulled out to make Baby Yoda memes of Adam Driver.
Hey, but the best thing, I got to give props to Adam Driver real quick. Have you guys seen the his skit on Saturday Night Live for Medieval Times?
I have not.
Oh my god, you gotta YouTube this.
I heard he's great on it.
He is fantastic. Like,
he's a good actor.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of the other skits, but the one from Medieval Times is hilarious. Basically, he is playing one of the knights who has gone to acting school and believes he's now Braveheart. It's hilarious. I've watched it 15 times. It is fantastic.
All right.
So,
good job, Adam Driver.
Yeah.
I kind of put him in the same place as Robert Pattinson. Like, they're good actors, but...
No.
Sometimes...
I mean, Adam Driver was never in Twilight.
No. But then, Adam Driver was never in The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse, I've heard, is very good.
But Adam Driver is still, like, a good actor in good things. Like, you can only... Well, Robert Pattinson... Adam Driver wasn't cast for that movie, so you can't be in that movie.
No.
But, I believe... But do you believe that Adam Driver would have done as good or better job than Robert Pattinson in that role?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I think Adam Driver has actually grown as an actor. I think he's much better. When he was on Girls, he was...
Oh, yeah.
He was shits.
One tone.
He was terrible.
Yeah, but
he
the show terrible. Is that.
You know what? I disagree. The first two seasons I thought were really good, and then the third season it just tanked, and it just went downhill,
so
and I quit.
So what is, for two seasons, Adam Driver was good, and
he wasn't good. The show was good.
I will say.
But he was good in the show.
Everything I've seen Patterson in post-Twilight, I mean, he was a young kid. He needed work.
Sure.
He did Twilight. Whatever.
Whoa, man. No, there's no
but
excuse.
Everything he has done since Twilight, I would almost say he's been better than...
I would too. I'm just
saying. I'm a vampire now. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I would also hate myself a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
You know,
Edgar is glistening in the sun. Sure, it's cool. I need to eat.
Take a ride on the yacht, and it's fine again.
All right, guys, you can check out John at PVDcast. He's got a lot of fun stuff going on over there. That's how I found out he didn't like Uncut Gems.
That's right. That was from a couple of episodes ago.
I am a fan. I listen.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's available, obviously, at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, and basically wherever you find podcasts. I mean, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, et cetera, et cetera.
John has that voice for radio, and when you listen to his podcast, he sounds like a radio personality, but that's how he sounds in real life too. So like, hanging out with John, going to the movies, grabbing popcorn, you think he's about to go into an Audible ad. Can I get a large popcorn? My podcast was brought to you by audible.com. Yes, I would like some butter.
This supersized meal was brought to you by podcast. They're like, sir, would you like barbecue sauce with that?
Yes, I would. And my barbecue sauce is brought to you by McDonald's.
I only accept the very best in barbecue sauce that's on my burger. Therefore, it must be Sweet Baby Ray's. You know, there you go.
The man said it. It must be true.
Do you still do the Audible ads?
No, I do not.
Yeah, we quit too.
We did one okay, the other day. Complete open honesty. I emailed them and said, look, it's not working out. And they were like, fine. They said, we'll cancel your account. And I was like, cause guys, I have made no money on this.
Well, yeah, everybody has an Audible ad.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, no more Audible ads. And again, I'm not going to disparage them. It was great. It just didn't work out.
Speaking of, today's podcast is not brought to you by Audible. But,
do we still have our shit going, right? It still works?
Yeah.
Audible.com/3geeks. Go for it.
You can do the impromptu ad.
You know what Audible is.
I just don't like audiobooks. I like to read books. I don't like to be read to.
I'm not a fan of the audiobook.
Sometimes it's cool.
When I'm at work.
If some people like it, that's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with that. I'm just saying
Car rides, long car rides, I'm down with an audiobook.
Where else can you listen to William Shatner say sabotage as he is reading you a Star Trek book?
The only thing I don't like about that is when you go to the Audible reviews and people always say, like, I've read this book and the man reading it did a bad job. It's like, you didn't read it. He read it to you.
Yeah, I hate that too. That bothers me when people say I read a book, but they just listen to it.
I understand that it's mostly semantics, but come on.
If that's the case, I read like 12 books a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to read like 12 books a month, but I've slowed way down. I did read a really awesome sci-fi book called The Three-Body Problem. It's written by this Chinese dude.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see what the Audible book would be like on that one.
So,
I think that's
do you now have the coronavirus?
It is. No, I
read that book from that Chinese author.
No, the book is American. It was printed here.
Oh, okay. There's no coronavirus.
No, look, man. I'm a red-blooded, proud American, okay? I drink Budweiser. I buy Ford. All right.
He's lying. I've never seen him drink a Budweiser.
Dude, oh my god, you didn't see me in the military.
I did not.
Virus is Kindle though.
But no, it's a really really like it's a sci-fi thing that it does something that you haven't seen really in sci-fi.
Okay.
So that's kind of rare, and I really really enjoyed it. But it is a little difficult to read because translated from Chinese, so some of the stuff I feel doesn't flow right, but you know, again, like it's just the language thing.
Sure.
So I'm interested to see what the audiobook would be like too, or if they just like is straight up in Mandarin Chinese, like you can, that's the only audiobook they can get. Yeah, check out Three Body Problem by some dudes whose name I can't pronounce.
Alright, anyway, Dan, what's some of your favorites from last year?
I gave the list last time, but...
Oh, did you guys do it last year?
We talked to Tom a little bit about his favorites, but we only came up with like three or four things.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, between all three of us.
Yeah. I really like Joker.
Yeah, that was solid. I wish that they had done the original ending. I think that would have been cool.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, what was the original?
It ended with the Joker shooting the Waynes, including Bruce.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I don't like that. Yeah.
I don't like that.
I think it would have fit the tone of the movie.
I don't like that at all. Either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could have left the Waynes entirely out of it, except for the last scene where the dude goes down the alley. And
yeah. See, even that was the part I hated the most.
I liked the Gotham that they set up,
mm-hmm.
and the Gotham that they set up could breed this sort of situation, and I dug that. So I like that the Joker was the cause of his parents getting murdered, but he didn't do it.
Yeah,
I do agree. To go back against what I just said, I do agree. I'm tired of seeing the Waynes in the alley. We've seen that almost
every Batman movie times. Ever made.
It's kind of a big deal.
I do agree. I don't like that they tried to shoehorn and make it. You think maybe the Joker and Bruce were brothers?
That was dumb. Yeah,
I didn't really dig that part of the movie. But no, overall, it was absolutely great. Great throwback to old Scorsese in that movie.
Yeah, I think it would have been better if he like went to the Wayne, if he went to Wayne Manor and just got kicked out of there and never saw Bruce. Yeah. You know, and like it helped with the illusion of what his mother was telling him. But to like, yeah, there's no really like need to have Bruce Wayne in that movie. That might be the only thing or one of the few things that I wasn't really a fan of for that movie.
Yeah.
But I wasn't mad that they showed the Wayne parents getting murdered. Like, well, I want to see the Batman that comes out of this like universe.
I have a feeling it's going to be like the Gotham TV show Batman.
Ugh.
Yikes. Because of the age difference, and yeah, I don't want that.
No, I mean like, no. What I'm saying is like, if they were to make a sequel to Joker called Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down for that. And like, yeah, Joker is going to be, like, much older than Batman, but that's fine. Like, that doesn't bother me, but they didn't introduce, like, any other villains.
No.
So it's just the Joker so far that we know about. So, like, the whole range is open. I would love to see, like, a Riddler or maybe a Hugo Strange movie out of this universe. I think that would be awesome.
I would prefer that it just stays its own movie and it doesn't make a universe.
That's what I thought they were going for, is they're going like a single, like just a one shot character piece.
Yeah.
And that's why when I thought like they started bringing in like the Batman stuff, it felt like it was trying to build something. It's like,
oh no,
it kind of.
But like the Waynes are prominent people. Like, there's no way to not do that.
Well,
like,
I'm fine with that. I'm just fine with the whole like he's in the background and it's kind of this crazy woman who believes. And I'm cool with that, but like he kept interacting with them too much, and that was my problem. He's like, he went to their house and went to the opera, and then they're in the alley right next to where he was on the police car, and it's like, I felt like that was a little too much. Like,
yeah,
hey, guess what,
the best scene
Batman's
of the movie,
in this universe, like, nah, we know.
Best scene of the movie is in his apartment.
Which one?
Where he like, spoiler alert, he kills the guys and lets the one guy go.
Okay.
The little person go.
That's good.
The scene with the little person, I was laughing so hard in the theater, like well past when everyone else stopped laughing, and I'm pretty sure people were like starting to get nervous.
He's like, wait, this is like when he was laughing earlier and not any jokes.
Oh god, the news was right. This is cursed.
I would like to see DC be the company who makes one and done movies, but from what I could tell, Joker 2 is inevitable.
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think
it made all the money.
Joaquin Phoenix has already gone against what he originally said of doing anymore. He's saying that he'd be in for a sequel. Phillips said he'd be in for a sequel.
No, I don't think they should, though.
If they get the right story, I'd be down to see more in that universe, but
that's
such a hard line to walk.
When I say I want to see the Batman movie from this universe, like, this is just a thing I'm imagining. Okay, in my head, it's perfect. If they make the movie, they will fuck it up. Like, there's no chance at all that they can hit it twice.
But the characters from that universe are an intriguing, like,
they made a very, very good movie. I would like if it could have been, you know, done perfectly in this you know, vacuum and everything was not messed up and there's no outside influences and no one like, okay, this is the problem with freaking with anything. It's like once the money starts getting made and then they're like, oh man, people are involved, people like it, there's money to be made, then everyone's like, oh well, you shouldn't do that, you should do this because that's better for more people and yada yada yada. And
it's like the whole Sony like Spider-Man villain thing.
Yes
mm-hmm. It's like Venom I thought was average at best, but it made a lot of money because you got, oh well, Venom's very iconic and like the angsty teenagers are gonna go see it, think it's the greatest thing ever. He's eating people. Oh,
it's like, so
he's in a lobster tank.
And then like, no, we have to have Morbius. I'm like, Morbius can't,
Morbius
can't
so
man.
Dumb.
Carry
you know
his
what
own
I
movie.
You know what I loved? I Morbius could. And or actually like you want to, if you see Morbius, you wanna see Blade. But
Thank you. Yeah. I was going to say, you want to see the Sons of Vengeance. That's what you want. Ghost Rider, Blade, Morbius.
Ghost Rider, okay, and Blade.
Yeah, like, Ghost Rider. And, like, we don't have name three Rider titles yet that have historically done super shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. He did really well on S.H.I.E.L.D., his story arc on S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's the thing. Like, good. MCU already has a Blade and a Ghost Rider. But this isn't MCU. No, even though they kind of have...
But freaking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is his own universe.
No, it's tied into MCU.
Nah, yeah, not anymore. Kevin Feige is like, yeah, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, like, it's its own thing.
Did he put the kibosh on
it? Yeah. He didn't. He didn't officially say that, but he didn't.
No, because Coulson is alive in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But they acknowledge he got stabbed by Loki, and it's like there's a backstory to how
right,
he like, got
brought
back.
But he's not alive in any of the other movies.
They don't say he's
no,
dead.
He's not alive.
They just hit him because they said he was dead.
Right, no. He's definitely just
it's called
not
witness
alive
protection.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, they were connected for a while, and then they quietly and secretly unconnected them.
Secretly.
But, yeah, it's...
Because Feige now is in charge of everything, because Perlmutter has been... But he wasn't fired. He was demoted.
He got fired, okay? But, you know, like, they don't want to say we fired him. So it was like, oh, we're just putting him on a different project,
but
and blah, 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 blah.
So they have all the Netflix project shows that are within that universe, and they've even talked about having Charlie Cox.
Yeah, that's
all. See, like, the Netflix shows did it better. Because, sure, like, they've always been influenced, like, you know, by the movies, but, like, they still kind of just their own things that could still happen. They don't ever tie anybody important in or yada, yada, yada.
They're just, like, very tangential.
Yeah, so you could make it part of it or not.
Sure.
But no, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went full for it, and and yeah, it didn't really work out. So yeah, they're just like,
yeah, there's a lot of rumors surrounding what Sony's gonna do. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, they've got what's his face.
Sony sucks.
Morbius
is gonna suck.
McGuire.
No, what's his face?
Leto.
Tom Holland. No, the Vulture. They don't have Tom Holland.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, but they
but I
also
don't think
have
he's the same character.
No,
I don't think he is either. Because
the
in they
the
want
background,
you to think he is.
When you see Spider-Man, it's the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's got the raised web pattern. And
which
stuff
is
like
a rumor in Doctor Strange 2, is that Sony is going to get their Spider-Man back, but it's going to be Tobey Maguire and the MCU.
I'm fine. They can have Tobey Spider-Man because
it all sucks.
Yes.
And they make crap movies, so he can be crap. Huh?
I like two.
One
two,
and two. One
yeah,
and two
I like
were
two
fine.
Well. No, one is not fine.
They don't
no
hold up anymore.
There's
though
so
like
much wrong
to
with one. Give me a break.
There is, but
I mean
when he takes the stupid mask off, he's a good villain.
Okay, Willem Dafoe is awesome.
Dafoe.
Sure, but they put him in a Power Rangers mask.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I'm not defending that at all.
And Tobey Maguire's 83 years old and he's in high school.
Yeah.
And
everyone is 83 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she was only 75, but that's like, I mean, she looked good for 75.
Hey, but at least there wasn't hot Aunt May, because that's what still grinds my guy.
I love
I like
hot
Aunt
May.
What?
I hate
hot
Aunt
May. Mm, give me a piece of that.
I mean,
she's very much like the ultimate Aunt May,
but then
a lot younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know.
She's the Aunt May you want to bring home to meet mom.
She's not the Aunt May you need. She's the Aunt May you deserve.
Aunt May is such a, like a minor character, and like the only interesting things they've ever had to do with her is like kill her or marry her to one of Spider-Man's like villains, like oh, J. Jonah Jameson
and that
or
could
Doc
work
Ock
now.
And it's like
the whole you know Doc Ock.
Aunt May loves.
Oh,
story.
So you're saying
Aunt
Doc
May
Ock gets
work,
the
yeah
sloppy seconds of Tony Stark,
yeah,
or
yeah,
not Tony Stark? Yeah, Tony
yeah
Stark
yeah
and them. They
hope yeah
yeah.
Well, Happy Hogan technically got the sloppy second.
Yeah, that's why I got confused in the love triangle of Aunt May.
I mean, isn't the love triangle of one of them is dead? Spoilers.
That does sound kind of wrong.
At this point, I think you were free and clear of that.
Happy married Pepper in the comics and then died.
All right, favorites of 2019.
I got through one.
Jesus, yeah. Okay,
chaos.
Can I'll throw out one. One of my favorites from 2019 was the documentary Hail Satan.
I have not seen it. What's it about?
It's really, really good. It's about, if you recall a few years ago, that fundamentalist group that wanted to put the Ten Commandments statues on government property throughout, like, I think, Oklahoma and Louisiana.
Oh, I think I know what this is going on.
Yeah. And this is about Lucien Graves, who's the current spokesperson for the Satanic Church. And so basically, the whole documentary just basically outlines a couple of different things. What the modern Satanic Church is all about, which they're very tongue-in-cheek in the fact that, look, all we really want is we want this separation of church and state. and so it covers that. It covers a little bit of the history of the Satanic Church, you know, the paranoia and the conspiracy around it, you know, and to an extent, too, they talk a little bit about, and they highlight how one particular chapter kind of goes off the rails, and they're like, yeah, you're out, because what you're doing is not what we are talking about. You know, you're violating our seven rules. It was very well done. I highly recommend it. It's theological. It's also, you know, political. It's also, it's humorous. I mean, it's really, really well done. Penny Lane is the director.
Penny Lane.
Legit, that's her name. it's great. It's fantastic.
Does it talk about streaming?
I believe it is streaming on, I think it was on Hulu not too long ago, and I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon. So
it'd be on Curiosity Stream, maybe?
Huh?
Curiosity Stream? They're all about documentaries.
Yeah. Possibly. I don't know.
Did they talk about the Buffy lawsuit at all? Or is that, was this made before that whole thing?
That's a great question, Scott. I don't think they mentioned it at all.
Okay.
The Church of Satan sued Buffy?
Yeah, because they used the statue.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They didn't get the right, like, the statue was like a like an IP for the Church of Satan, and they're like,
Baphomet,
yeah, they're like, you can't use that, we made that, and I think they won the lawsuit.
They do, but no, when they talk about the hysteria, they talk about, like, the metal music in the 80s, and, you know, and how, you know, you had groups that were playing up that aspect of it, and then, the Judas Priest lawsuit and all that jazz, mm-hmm. you know, and it was very thought-provoking. It was great.
I might have to check that out. That sounds good. I'm into documentaries ever since we saw the Mr. Rogers one.
The Fred Rogers,
I have checked it out. I'm into Satan, so that's...
into both, right down my alley.
I'm going to go watch it after this. Actually, after I take Kat to get her table. What do you got, Dan?
Huh?
What else is on your favorites?
Catch
you off guard?
Fire Emblem, Three Houses for the Switch.
Woohoo, he's going into a video game. Ooh. I like that. What do you do? What's it like?
What do you do?
What's it like?
You're a teacher at this school that has three houses that rule over the land of, I don't remember.
Are you Fire Emblem?
Yes, the land of Fire Emblem.
Are you Byleth?
What's it?
Are you Byleth?
You are Byleth.
Are you Marth? You're Roy?
No.
What about
no.
Lucina?
Let me say.
I'm just going through the Smash Bros. Roster of the characters I know.
They're not all from the same games.
What?
Sure they are.
There's a whole bunch of Fire Emblem.
Mario, Yoshi, they're all from the same game.
It's called Smash Brothers. Put over this.
I like how Scott mentions all these obscure names and then just randomly Roy is thrown in.
Roy is a character in Smash Bros.
Yeah. I know.
And apparently Fire Emblem. I don't know. I know he's in Smash Bros.
He's definitely in Smash Bros.
It's kind of got the SRPG, you know, thing going on, like Final Fantasy Tactics. But it throws in like Persona like link system. Like you go and you find, you know, you talk to your students and you're like, hey, I found this book. Is it yours? And they're like, yeah, it is. And their stats go up. So,
I know what you're talking about. I don't know if anyone else does.
Yeah, probably not. But hey, whatever. And, you know, you caught me off guard there, JT. So there you go.
I love the fact that you brought in a video game.
Yeah. I really liked it. Like I played it straight for like 3 weeks.
Sounds great. Max, you got anything fun from
2019? I already spent like 4 podcasts talking about Jojo Rabbit, including this one. So
yeah. I will skip you. Let's go to our
that's that. Mega Man 11 was probably like
my
most
glad you brought that
anticipated
up.
Like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. A new Mega Man game. And then
you beaten a level?
No.
I can't beat a fucking level.
Fucking suck at Mega Man. And it always gets me. I'm always like, I love Mega Man. And then I play Mega Man for 45 minutes and I just want to punch things until my hand breaks.
Dude, I almost threw the Switch playing it.
Oh my god. That game is so frustrating.
I'm like, this isn't an NES controller. I have to resist.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
You should watch the speedruns. You just get really depressed. Like, not only can they do it, but they do it really fast.
Yeah, dude. It's not even,
I am really good at Mega Man 2. I can beat that game maybe an hour.
Yeah, because you start and you get Metal Man with the zing, zing, zing.
Yeah, but I can't get past a level in any of the other Mega Mans.
Really?
Oh my goodness. No, I mean, like, I beat levels in Mega Man, but it's just like, I don't know why I keep. There's something in my brain that just forgets that I actually suck and hate Mega Man.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, it's so... Oh, my God. It was so frustrating. But, yeah, I'm playing the new Pokemon game, Shield.
I got one of those.
Yeah.
Sword.
I'm not really feeling it. I think it's starting to get a little better to where I'm, like, actually into it. I want to, like, train up my team and do different things. But like, the same problem I had with Ultra Sun and Moon. It's just like, Pokemon is so watered down now. Like, the game that I played back in the day was like, you know, you had to have two Pokemon with all the freaking, like, utility moves, and they're just kind of, like, taking up space in your party. And then, you know, you always had to, like, you had to make sure you taught the right one the right thing because, like, the machine breaks after you can't ever teach this move again. Like, none of that is there anymore. Like, none of the stuff that makes the game, like, you know, like, where you're really picking and choosing what you do. It really, really dumbed it down for kids. And even though, like, you know, I was a kid when I played the original Pokemon, so...
Probably dumbed it down for adults.
Yeah. But I'm, like...
That's how that works.
It doesn't make any sense. Whoever you dumbed it down for, it doesn't make sense that they did it. Because when I was a kid, I played the game, and I love Pokemon. So, like, it obviously worked. But then, you know, it's like, so if you're dumbing it down for kids, well, how come kids back then could handle it and kids now can't? But then, so if you're dumbing it down for adults who are playing the harder one back then and want that, then why are you dumbing it down?
Because they have less time to invest in the learning mechanics. I have found that, like, I was way more, like, I'll, like, go back and play games and be like, how did I ever do this as a kid? It's because I didn't have to worry about, like, bills and work and whatever. I just could just invest my entire mind in, like, of course I'm going to do this crazy jump. Like, of course that's the only way to beat this scenario with my Twitch reflexes that I've lost as I've gotten older.
But, yeah, so I'm not having as much fun. It's starting to pick up a little bit. But, yeah, like, I just haven't been as impressed with the newer Pokemon games as the older ones.
I'm going to interrupt this episode for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues. They've got a ton of stuff for your comic book fandom. And if you want to make sure you never miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pull system and you'll even get 20% off all pre-ordered comics. So check them out online, either at their website, wgcomics.com, or on Facebook, just search for WG Comics. But I got a better suggestion. Why don't you stop on over to the store? They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and let them know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVDcast.
Kat, you got anything fun?
So it's kind of an A24 sort of year for me. I really liked Midsummer.
Uncut Gems.
not my taste, no thanks. And I recently saw The Lighthouse. Because
it's awful, that's why. It's, yeah.
I have a feeling I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not an Adam Sandler fan, so.
Man, I just back in the day. Happy Gilmore.
I liked Punch Drunk Love when that came out.
No, I did too.
Like, it's just, I can list the reasons why. Number one, it starts with a colonoscopy, so that's a great scene.
Like they show you the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah,
it's like, you see Adam Sandler's butthole.
Well, the insides, not, yeah. So it starts with that.
Polar started with a colonoscopy, and I...
What was it?
Polar?
We're all at that age, we're about...
no colonoscopy. I would die of prostate cancer. Like, we think you have prostate cancer, I'm like, that's enough.
Starts with that.
Okay. Like, 2019.
Here's the other thing that irked me about it. It's got Scarface syndrome, and what I mean by that is we have to have the artsy, cutting edge, avant garde, like soundtrack. It's just fucking noise. It's not even like instruments or anything. That annoyed me.
God, you sound like my grandfather.
God,
listening to MC Hammer. This is noise.
And again, as I've said on the PVD cast, this is my problem I have. If you are an asshole to the nth degree at the start of the movie, you gotta be a little bit less of an asshole by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Or totally not even an asshole. Otherwise, I don't give a shit about you, and I hope you die in the movie. That's I mean, so
that was my whole problem with that one
District 9.
The Batman movie that wasn't the Batman movie. And then he flies out the window at the end.
Which Batman movie?
Birdman.
Oh,
everybody in that fucking movie is an asshole. Like, I don't care for anybody.
Yeah,
so I haven't seen it.
Anyway,
it's weird. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
Back to Cap.
Yeah, back to Cap.
Derailed. Adam Sandler derailing.
Uncut Gems! I like getting John on a rant.
Have any of you guys seen The Lighthouse? Am I the only one that's actually seen it?
I want to see it. I have not seen it.
I know there's a lot of farting in the movie.
There is that, and they have this weird, I love you, I hate you, abusive relationship between them that there have been some really great memes made about. But it was definitely a little odd, which most A24 films are a little odd. But that was probably my number one of 2019, or at least tied with Midsommar.
I've heard a lot of people say Lighthouse is
Willem Dafoe.
Farting.
Like, yep.
Can we, Willem Dafoe can even, if he can shine through a Power Rangers mask in a Spider-Man movie, he can do anything. Yeah. Like, that guy is just amazing.
After seeing Antichrist, I've been a Willem Dafoe
fan. Oh, my God.
And I
saw that in the theater, in the part where they're in the bar, and she's like, I just started laughing. I'm the only one in the theater just going like,
I've only seen a clip of Antichrist. That, see, I knew it. In training with Kat, I was like, I got to introduce her to Dan because they don't get along so well. I saw 30 seconds of Antichrist, and I about vomited.
Oh, yeah. There's one particular scene that, like, I still, to this day, can't think about it without just shuddering.
Is it a colonoscopy of Adam Sandler? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's probably equally terrible for guys, at least.
Oh, dude, it's horrible. It's worse.
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
It's the scene
near
the end when he's kind of unconscious. Yeah, that one, I was a little disturbed by that one, and I've been a fan of his since then. But
today's podcast is brought to you by puking. Which is what Max and I are about to do. Hey,
quite possibly, yes.
The Kindle had a sale on Richard Layman books last month, so I grabbed a bunch of them. I'm like, damn, this guy's kind of brutal.
Yeah. I have some pretty messed up books. If you like messed up books, I have some that I would be curious to see what you would think about.
Speaking of Hail Satan, did you see The Antichrist?
No, I did not. I'm just sitting and taking it all in.
I did not.
It's not really about The Antichrist.
I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I'll throw out that I thoroughly enjoyed going to a comic book. I thoroughly enjoyed Gail Simone's run on Domino. I liked it.
Gail Simone is one of my favorite comic writers.
Yeah, it was real strong. Here's the weird part, and I haven't really researched it, but it only is like 18 issues, and then it's done. And I'm like, so did I don't think Marvel ever canceled it. Was it? So I'm kind of guessing, was she like, look,
we're talking X-Men Domino, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm only going to do X amount of episodes or issues, excuse me, and I don't know. It was really well done.
Well, I mean, it was 18 issues. That's like a year and a half.
It just kind of was like, I don't know.
It might have just been her contract run.
Might have been, because, she has had some contractual issues in DC and Marvel before, but it was real good. It was fun. I also like Gail Simone a lot as well, and so I'm not a huge Domino fan, but it made me enjoy the book, so to me, if you can do that as a writer, that's a win.
Have you read Secret Six?
Yes. Okay. I loved her run on Secret Six. I have not yet watched, read Leaving Metropolis, I believe is what it's called.
I don't know that either.
It was a DC book that she did that was supposedly really, really good.
She did a run on Batgirl, too. I haven't read that.
Yeah, I haven't read that either. But she's good, man.
Yeah, keep writing there, Gail. We like your stuff.
So, Scott, besides Spock making an appearance in Discovery, what was your favorite moment of 2019?
Oh, God.
Movie or TV or...
So I got three things. So Polar on Netflix with Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, Arctic, right?
No, Polar.
There's another one?
Well, Polar is like a graphic novel that got converted where he's like an ex... He's a hitman nearing retirement. And they're going to have to... Like, the assassins agency is like in financial disarray. So they can't like pay out his retirement. So they're trying to kill him before he can retire.
I want to see that.
It's weird, but it's like... I enjoyed it. It's got... I was... Because like I saw the trailer and I was like, is this like a weird drama? But the more I watched it, I'm like, this is feeling real comic booky. So I looked it up and it was like a graphic novel. There's like... Especially like, the scene where he like has this crazy like armament that he's using to like fight off this army, and I'm like, this has got to be a comic book, 100%. And lo and behold, it was.
I just watched him in Arctic that came out last year.
I know he was in that,
and it was so good. Mads Mikkelsen is one of my favorite actors, and
you got to meet him.
I did, but
yeah, it's a Netflix original, so it's on there.
It's pretty much just him in the whole movie Arctic. He does such a good job. He crashes in the middle of the Arctic. He's got to try to keep himself alive. It's really good.
Is it a movie or a series?
It's a movie.
Okay, good.
What's that?
Short
on?
Movie too. My voodoo account. I don't know if it's on anything else.
That's fine.
But what else?
even though I thought it was kind of pointless in terms of the grander scheme of things, I did really like El Camino. I did a write-up of that. It's a Breaking Bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt like it was just like this tiny little story that could feel, felt like it could be like an episode or two. And he kind of just ends the same way he like begins, which is just on the run.
I've heard that I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard that it's like the best, most unnecessary movie ever made.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It's just Vince Gilligan. They're like, hey, you want to come back and do some more stuff? He's like, yeah. And it's just like episodes of Breaking Bad. It's got like all the same stuff. It doesn't really feel like a movie. Except for the longer runtime, it just feels like more episodes of the show.
Breaking Bad is my favorite show of all time, and I can't believe I haven't seen El Camino yet.
So,
well, you know, you already paid for Netflix.
Yeah, so you might as well watch
this. This is pretty much free.
Yeah, they got like everybody back. I don't think they brought back
Walter
like,
White.
No, I'm still alive. Really, they do like a little flashback scene, and he's like, I don't know where, because like you could very easily pick out like where the flashbacks fall in the show, like down to like in between this episode and this episode, right. Which I haven't seen Breaking Bad in so long. There's a lot of details that like for the hardcore fans, but it's, you can like me not have watched it since the finale premiered on TV and just watch it and be like, oh yeah, I remember this and this.
And I mean, like Breaking Bad is like Arrested Development in that like something, you know, little from season one could come back in season four, and like, so yeah, there's a lot of stuff to see, but like Breaking Bad is just a very, very well done show. Yeah, no, I dig all that whole crew. I liked Better Call Saul. I didn't watch season. They're on season three now.
They're on like season six. Five or six.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, I haven't watched since season one. Or no, season two. I watched season two.
I haven't watched anything past season one. Not because I didn't want to, but because I just don't have good. Like the time. Yeah, I heard so it's good, super
but
good.
It just like falls under the radar. Yeah, like it's really good though. It's a little different from Breaking Bad. It's a different show, but it's still got like those like really like the quality like artsy moments from Vince Gilligan and crew. Like it's got all those. And it's still got, like, Saul is a manager at Cinnabon.
Yeah.
And I just love the scenes at Cinnabon. Like, that's, like, the best part of the show.
It's a little bit more humorous than Breaking Bad, but it's not, like, too cartoonish.
Right.
Like, it still feels like it's in the same world. Mm.
I've heard people say they like it better than Breaking Bad.
I wouldn't say that.
I liked it better than Breaking Bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard people say they can relate to Saul better than they can relate to Walt.
Yeah.
Like, Walt's a good depiction of, like, you know, a tragic character who, like, you know, was on this decline.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to relate to him.
Yeah.
Because he's just still, like, evil towards the end. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I saw 1917.
I did, too.
Really liked.
I think that was 2020, though.
Is that 2020?
I think that was
technically...
Technically 2019.
Yeah.
I think it came out mid-December.
That's
first
right,
season.
Motherfucker. It goes on the list.
It did. I didn't add it to my list because I thought it was 2020.
It did limited runs, so it'd be eligible for Oscars.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Same with
Parasite
Oscar and
nominated.
A couple others.
I got...
I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It's probably, like, I'm going to say one of my favorite, like, classic war movies since, like, Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Huh.
Heard that.
That's fair.
It's really good. I like Tommen. Prince Tommen's in there, and he does a good job.
He's the
Tommen.
He's the brother, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's the brother who they're gonna save his brother.
Yeah. Who turns out to be another Game of Thrones actor.
Yeah.
I liked how
yeah.
all the like the higher ups were like very well known actors, but all the soldiers were kind of like no names. Like anytime there's like a colonel or a general or an admiral, it's like, oh, it's what's his face?
Yeah.
Oh, I recognize him.
It's like A Bridge Too Far. If you've ever seen that? Like,
I have not. I've been meaning to watch.
I have not.
I have not.
So, I did not watch it.
Oh,
one of my favorite experiences from 2019 was Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that.
I keep forgetting it came out in 2019, but that's probably the most fun I had in a movie theater.
Oh, man. Freaking Knives Out was awesome.
Knives Out was on my list. It was on my list. As well as, like, I went for TV shows. I thought the three best were, obviously, The Mandalorian, The Boys, The Righteous Gemstones.
The Adventures of Baby Yoda.
Oh, I've seen The Mandalorian.
The Adventures of Baby Yoda.
The Boys was fantastic.
The
Righteous Gemstones was hilarious.
The Boys does a good job of not being the comic book, but also not being bad.
Right.
Like, they get the heart of it. They just got to do something else for TV. But I like The Boys because, like, I wasn't mad at it. You know, like, I watched it. I was like, okay, like, this like obviously they can't do seven things that they did in the comic books because it's so outrageous. Like, I was interested to see how far they were going to push it, but I liked the show. I thought like everyone was still their character from the book, even though like different things.
You know, there's a new series coming out, right? So Garth is doing a new boys series. It's going to be limited. I think it's only like 6 issues, but it takes place 10 years after the boys ends.
Okay,
where Yui finds a letter from Billy Butcher's wife, and it kind of is a backstory, and it kind of explains some of his, how Billy became Billy because of some of that.
Right.
Supposedly, I'm real excited for that. I'm like, yes, as long as it's done right.
Right, again, like, we'll see how it goes. I don't, like,
it's an interesting premise. I like that premise. I'm hoping that it's executed well.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really tricky to go back and, like, once you've told a story, you're like, okay, it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's done, and then you're like, okay, well, people love it so much, so they want to hear about what's going on. But like, it never lives. Like, look at the Dark Knight Returns, freaking Watchmen. You know, it's really hard to go back.
Yes,
and add to that. So I'm tentatively excited for that because like
almost every sequel ever,
Empire or
Godfather 2,
Godfather
movies. Aliens.
Aliens. Wait, no, well, the Aliens is a different one, though. I prefer the original Alien. To
you just say all the Godfather movies suck?
Yes.
All right, hold on.
Calm down, guys. Calm down.
That's my job.
Fair enough, I guess, but still.
It's tough for stuff like that when you feel like they've said everything they need to say, and then they're like, well, we're going to add to it. And they're like, what else do you need to do? That's what I thought about.
And
I have faith in Garth Ennis. He's done fantastic.
Yeah, that dude's insane.
There's only a couple of things that he has done, like, you know, most recently I read his stuff from Aftershock, Walk Through Hell. That was bad. I mean, but that's one of the few things I can think of.
His run on Hellblazer was fantastic.
Fantastic. So. I mean, Dix was pretty bad. Back to Brooklyn was also pretty bad.
If you want to get real in-depth with Garth Ennis, check out Fat Man on Batman. Kevin Smith interviews Garth Ennis, I think, two or three times. And they are excellent episodes. Like, you really get ahead for, like, you get into the mind of Garth Ennis. And
he wrote a kid's book. Did you know that?
Oh, is it like, are the pages like made of acid? Like, are they actually, so you're like kidding?
No, it's called Welcome to Earth.
Okay.
And it explains the creation of Earth.
Huh.
And it's like one of those, what's those, the little books that you guys had as a kid? The golden, like the...
Golden books?
Yeah, it's
golden books.
It's done like that. And yeah, because when you hear... Like, because my cousin has a copy of it. He goes, would you like to take a look? It'll only take you 7 minutes to read this.
Right.
It's the Garth Ennis children's book. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Did you say children's book? Yeah, but it's really well done.
Nicolas Cage was in a movie recently called Mom and Dad, which I watched. It's about some kind of virus happens where parents go after their kids. So it's him and Selma Blair trying to kill their kids, and he's it's great. It's dialed up to like 4,000.
I don't want
to
be an asshole, but Selma Blair, like...
Yeah, they
she's
dug
really
her out.
She's really sick.
Huh?
But she's got the MS. She's really, really sick.
This was like 2 or 3 years ago.
No, she... No, I swear to God, it's Selma Blair, isn't it, that has the MS? That she walks with a cane now? Yep. And she has problems moving around? How the fuck was she in a movie if she has MS? No.
Hard work, bro.
I'm double checking.
Gotta get paid, son.
I'm fact checking
myself.
These
medical bills ain't gonna pay themselves.
Yeah, Selma Blair, Mom and Dad.
Well, MS kind of comes and goes in phases. Like,
does it? Okay.
Yeah,
see,
I have a friend that has it, and
okay.
90% of the time, she's fine.
She's okay. We're shooting today.
Has anybody seen Mandy with Nicolas Cage?
I heard that was ridiculous, but good.
I heard it's good, but again, Nicolas Cage is embracing his ridiculousness.
Is that ridiculous, like Rambo Last Blood?
I don't know.
Rambo Last Blood sucked.
It did suck, but again.
Except for the last 12 minutes of the movie.
I went into the movie going, this is going to be awful.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that they didn't waste my time with a goddamn exposition. It's, hey, here we go. The daughter's missing. She's in Mexico. She's going to die.
But why does he care about the daughter? Just let her die, Rambo.
Look, the only thing that pissed me off was we didn't get the red bandana.
Now I want to see Sylvester Stallone star in a Home Alone movie. That's the only thing I learned about Rambo 5.
Taken the Rambo movie.
Oh, man, they're going to de-age him?
I didn't think
it
was Taken. It was
Taken. Yeah, they take the girl. He calls him up. I've got a particular skill.
Fair.
He goes. He fucks him up. They come back and retaliate. Like, it's the same thing. But yeah, like, or he saves the girl. She's all like, she's all effed up. He doesn't drive to any sort of hospital or medical anything. He just decides, instead, I'm going to drive 6 hours across the U.S.-Mexican border and so she can die in the truck. Spoilers.
Doesn't she, like, die right as he pulls into the house, too?
No.
They're on the road.
They're on the road.
I blacked some of it out.
Yeah, it doesn't because it doesn't matter.
it's bad. It's bad.
Kudos to them for killing the girl. I thought Taken would have been a better movie if they killed the daughter and he saved the friend. But,
speaking of Taken, did anybody see the Liam Neeson in the snow?
Taking the snow pile?
Yeah.
Yes!
Was that any good?
It was terrible!
We talked about it forever ago.
Oh my god. Taking the snow plow out is exactly...
What the fuck are you talking
it's
about?
It's called Cold Pursuit.
Oh, it's not, now, it's not the gray with the wolves?
Okay. No, that's Taken in the Wilderness.
And Taken the Gray.
Nobody got Taken. They just got lost.
No. Yeah. Oh, God. Wait,
every
you mean
movie
the gray?
Is Taken.
Are you talking about the Gray?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every movie Liam Neeson
they took themselves.
I like that movie.
I did not. I was like, this movie is ass.
You sounded like you enjoyed Taken the Snowplow.
Oh, just because it was so ridiculous. fucking, who plays the brother? Oh, God, I wish I knew that guy's name. He's a character actor. Like, you don't see him too much anymore, but he used to be in a whole bunch of stuff. It's absurd. The movie is so dumb. Liam Neeson's like he's like from a mafia family, but he got out of that life, so now he just drives a snowplow.
Of course he did.
And then like somebody like his kid goes to college or something like that, and then like gets into some trouble. And they OD him, so they're like, "But our son wouldn't do that, so he's gotta go figure out what happened and then take it."
Except he's already dead, so
yeah, but like there's I'm gonna say probably like 53% less throat chopping than in the original Taken movie. But it's still good. It's if you like Liam Neeson movies, which are all the same,
yeah,
then
well they are now.
I will throw it out as another YouTube exclusive. They had a show like 6, 7, 8 years ago, Life is Too Short, with Warwick Davis, that Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant were behind, and basically it was like a spoof of like a reality show following Warwick Davis around. There is a scene from the first episode where he's in Stephen and Ricky's office getting a movie role, and they're like, Liam Neeson comes in and he wants to do comedy, and he delivers every line with that deadpan. It's hilarious. And like he picks topics that are like, yeah, I don't think you can make fun of that. That's kind of one of those things. I don't want to give too much away. It's hilarious. You should look up Liam Neeson, Life Too Short, on YouTube. It's like 5 minutes. It's awesome.
All right,
everybody. That was John from the PVD cast. Check out John on Twitter at PVDMVP. Check out the PVD cast at PVDcast.com and wherever you find podcasts. We are the Three Geeks Podcast.
Wait, I got two more things.
Yeah. You?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Just real quick?
Yeah, go.
Cobra Kai Season 2 was excellent, also 2019, and Blood Fresh Supply, which is a remaster of the original Build Engine game, Blood. Atari finally let sort of the source code out, and Night Dive Studios did wonderful.
Dude, isn't Cobra Kai awesome?
Yeah, I love it.
See, we agree on this.
Yeah, that's
fine. We should do a Cobra Kai podcast.
Sure.
That show is so good. I can't believe those guys' chemistry is like something else.
Yeah.
Ford vs. Ferrari was also good.
I heard that was good. I want to see it.
Resident Evil 2 Remake.
I heard it's good.
I think that came out last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because 2 was one of my favorite games of all time, and I'm like, oh, God, a remake, they're going to jack it up. And I brought it home, and if I paid my $60 and I put it in, I was like, hey, this is actually really good.
Oh, yeah, Anthem, thank you for making me not ever want to buy a new video game ever again. Appreciate you, 2019.
Hit that like button, hit that share button, follow us on Twitter at 3GeeksPodcast. Have a great day.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my appearance on the Three Geeks podcast, talking about the best of 2019. Definitely check those guys out. 3geeks.ninja is the website address. You can find them on Twitter at 3geekspodcast. And I think just look for 3geekspodcast on all the social media platforms and you'll find them. And yeah, check out the reviews. Check out the podcast episodes. Scott, Dan, Kat, Max, and Jason do a great job giving you some pop culture when you need it. So with that, I know I'm going a little bit long, so I'm going to quickly wrap things up here. Let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you need to do so. You can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal handle is @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on the Instagram page, that of course, @pvdcast. And of course, last but not least, the Facebook page, that of course being facebook.com/pvdcast. And as always, you can get this podcast a variety of different places. The online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com, is probably the easiest place to find it, but it's available through most major podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, Google Play Music, the Echo Network, Pod Paradise, SoundCloud, basically any major podcast platform, like I said. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. When you rate and review, you help me out in the equation, if you will. And of course, when you subscribe, you never, ever miss an episode of the PVD cast. And also, too, don't forget, tell friends, lots of friends about it as well. I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous and stay independent.